Once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. How was your week? And as we have just sang a song from the book of Job, we are living on a fallen world. We are living in a road marked with suffering. So I think some of us might having a hard life, a trials, or even some of us might fallen into temptation. But it's refreshing to come and to sing such song like Blessed Be Your Name and Joy to the World. And so, as we have prepared our hearts to listen to the Word of God, shall we grab our Bible and turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea is the first book of the minor prophets, and it is after Daniel. Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, then comes Hosea. And so, the scripture portion, the passage which we are going to learn today is Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. It's a delight and it's a privilege for me to preach God's Word. And I would love to preach all the times, even if people don't understand, and even if people will not listen to me. Let's read Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. This is one of the key passages in the whole book of Hosea. And the book of Hosea is one of the most quoted minor prophets in the New Testament. And if you have turned here, let me read out loud for all of us. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Come, let us return to the Lord. Even though He has torn us, He will heal us. He has struck us down, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live before Him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. This is the word of God. Years ago, I along with my brothers went to a jungle for adventure without my father's permission. I was very young then. To our horror, my younger brother was attacked badly by dozens of honeybees. We were afraid to go back home. Because if my father finds it out, he will discipline us severely. So we decided not to tell my daddy what happened to my brothers. He almost died, by the way. Night drew in. My younger brother got terribly ill, but still we didn't tell our daddy. But my father, he knows his children. My brother didn't come for dinner. So he just went and checked in the bedroom and he found out the situation. By God's grace, my father took him to the hospital and he got a treatment and he didn't die. It was so foolish of us not to tell our daddy because we fear him. Yes, we ought to fear him because he's our daddy. He needs to discipline us. But at the same time, we forgot the love of a father for his son. And so we hide it, and that was really foolish. We try to hide our sins. Instead of running to him, confessing it, and trying to make a solution, we try to solve ourselves, almost killing my brother. We didn't realize that my daddy's love is greater than the sins we have committed against him. That was me and my daddy. Hopefully your kids will not do like that. Many times I repeat the same mistake with my Heavenly Father God. I turn here and there in my distress, in my anxiety, in my troubles, in my suffering. Instead of kneeling down and crying to God in repentance and in trust in Him. Brothers, when is the last time? Sisters, you worried as if, you fear as if God does not exist. Do you experience a moment when everything including God seems to be against you? Should you run away from God at that time? When you fall into sin, are you feeling rejected by God that you hesitate to pray or open your Bible and read it? The Bible clearly says no. In fact, it is in those times, in our fall, in our temptation, in our chastening, in our sins, in our trials, we need to seek God. So the theme of my sermon today is seek God because His love abounds even in judgments, even in our sins. Seek God because His love abounds even in judgments. Let me tell you the background of Hosea to understand better. Remember the kingdom of Israel? The covenant people of God divided into two kingdoms after King Solomon. 10 tribes form in the northern side, known as Israel, and the 2 tribes in the south as Judah, from where Jesus would come. Israel, where the northern kingdom, Israel were more sinful than Judah, so they ceased to exist over 700 years before the coming of Christ. Then this kingdom, the southern kingdom, Judah, did not learn, refused to learn, refused to repent from what they have sinned upon Israel. And so even Judah ceased to exist 100 years later, the fall of the Israel. Here, Hosea is the last prophet for this kingdom, Israel. He is preaching just before the coming destruction, before the seeds of this Israel. The bigger context of our passage is chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 4 to chapter 6. And if you would turn me to chapter 4, from there we would see our background clearly. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. That's a background. The spiritual condition of this Israel before the destruction when Hosea was preaching is, there is no knowledge of God, no faithfulness in the land. They were running here and there instead of seeking the word of God. They stopped reading and studying the word of God. And the social condition here is everyday murder, bloodshed like a newspaper. In fact, while I was reading this chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, I can identify with our cultures. There are lots of social disorders, spiritual disorders, and ethical disorders. And here the ethical condition is that they were immoral. They become adulterous, lying, thief. All these things we see it. So God, being a holy and just God, could not withstand such terrible thing. He has been raising up prophets after prophets, pastors after pastors, sermons after sermons of warning, calling them to return to God. The Israelites were stiff-necked people. They were stubborn people. They refused to heed the warning. Hosea is the last prophet. Now the judgment, the end for Israel has come. Hosea is a loving, compassionate prophet. He pleaded with them to return to God, but the Israelites would not listen. Hosea foresaw the destruction. He warns them 5 times of judgment in the whole book of Hosea. But God is also a God of compassion. His love abounds even in judgment, and he would restore them. So the book of Hosea is written in such a way that after every prophecy of judgment, it is followed by the prophecy of restoration. And the context falls in the prophecy of restoration. And as we see, and as if we look it, we'll find in chapter 4 and chapter 5, the judgments of God. For instance, turn with me to chapter 5, verse 15. 14, there we see how it is written. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and their distressly, and in their distress earnestly seek me. God, like a ferocious lion, he has judged the people, he has killed the people, he has tore them up, and he has went to a place so that people will not be able to approach him. But then God will show compassion to them again. When and if they will only seek him earnestly. And then comes our passage, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. We see the love of God abounding in judgment for those who seek him. Look at verse 1 and 3, how Hosea calls the people. It says, let us return. Hosea is inviting the Israelite. He is saying, it's time to seek God. And then in verse 1 and verse 2, we also see the words like, he has torn, he has struck us down. Some translation put it as other way. And then judgment has come upon them here. And also we see such phrase like, he will heal and he will vine us, as well as he will revive us, in verse 1 and verse 2. God loves abound even in judgment for them. They only need to seek God earnestly. Christians, are you troubled because of your sins? Seek God. He is a loving God. You may ask, how do I seek God? Hosea has given 2 manifestations of seeking God from this passage, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. We will know a person seeks God if we see these 2 manifestations in his life. There are verse 1 and 2. What does it say? It says, come, let us return. That's repentance from sin. And the other one is from verse 3, it says, let us press on to know Yahweh, that is pursuing the knowledge of God. In other words, seeking God is turning away from sin and running after God. That's the one who seeks God. The first manifestation of seeking God is repentance, and we will be seeing that one from verse 1 and 2. Here Hosea is calling them to repent. He says, come. He did not say, go there and repent. He is not ordering them around. He is willing to join them. He says, us. He says, he identified with the people. He says, let us return. The direction of repentance is to God. It says, come, let us return to Yahweh, to God. He wants to lead them to repentance. Prophet Hosea is not sinful as the people of Israel were. But even then, he identified with them and he acted as if he was the greatest rebellious leader. And he come to that level and he said, come, let us return to God. He identified with people. Prophet Hosea is someone whom we should imitate. The pastors, the church leaders, the fellowship leaders, the Bible study leaders should also be acting like this Prophet Hosea. But coming to our point also, it is true that for the family, the fathers, the leaders of the home should lead the children to God. Fathers, do you want your children to be obedient? You should show them by your obedience to God. Are you repenting in your prayer? Is repentance your lifestyle? Children learn from parents. Your lifestyle matter to children. In my village, children hardly respect their mother because their fathers did not respect their mother. The fathers smoke and the children smoke. And so, if the leaders, either in the church or in the business company or even in the family, if the leaders who are to be leaders, if they are not showing an example, surely the children would not live to their expectation. Hosea don't know a sinful man putting himself and say, come on, let us repent unto God. And that is what we see from verse 1. There is a sense of obligation in this calling when Hosea says, come, let us repent. This is not a suggestion he is giving to these people, because they are in destruction already. Nations after nations comes and destroy them, invade them. Only their complete destruction is yet to come, and that will come soon. Now they could not turn to other nations, as we see in chapter 5, verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king, but he is not able to cure you. God is their only hope if they want to get healed, if they want a solution. But Israelites refused to repent, as we see from chapter 6, verse 4 onwards. God says, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets, and after that comes a series of another prophecy of judgment for the people of Israel. What is repentance, brothers and sisters? Why are their repentance so shallow, this Israelite? Repentance is not just the desire you have for doing right thing. It is not even the tear you set in wanting it desperately. It is not even the commitment you make it. You have genuinely repented only when you practice it, only when you have practiced the commitment and the things that you have decided to do, to run away from. It is becoming doers that is truly repentance. So this repentance is encouraged by knowing three fundamental truths about God for genuine repentance. The first fundamental truth for repentance is to know the justice of God. The Israelites should have realized that destruction, distress, and troubles come to them because they have departed from God. Because these words from verse 1 to 3 are not the words of Israelite. This is not something the Israelite come up to their mind and say, come on, let us return to God. This is the words of prophet Hosea. They did not know it. They did not learn to repent also. They did not know that this destruction also come from God. Hosea is a speaker here. He is revealing the theological truth for the Israelite to repent. See, who is the cause of all these troubles and suffering? It is Yahweh, it is God. It says, look at it, for he has torn us, for he has struck us, that he is referring to Yahweh, the God. It is not Satan or it is not the Assyrians who is in control. It is God, who God has judged them. That's why it says, he caused to smite, he tore us. If it was merely human, if it was human who were troubling them, they can just run and they can hide it. But it is God. Who can escape when God judges? They need to know this theological truth of God's justice, and they need to repent it. Brothers and sisters, this is God's world. It is God who chastened you. Don't react it in rebellion or anger or disappointment in your hard times. God wants us to fall down like Saul of Tarsus to repent. Stop running, sinners. Surrender your pride. Humble yourself before God and repent from your sins and acknowledge Him. We can come. We cannot come to God just as we are, with all our pride, with all our sinful thing, because we will repel God. And that's what we see in chapter 5, verse 4. It says, their deeds do not permit them to return to their God, for the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. We need to break down our pride. We need to repent from sins in order to come to God. Recently, we studied the church history in one of our PTS modules. I see that God continued to judge the world throughout this past 2,000 years. It is not just in Old Testament times. Empire and nation comes and goes. God is sovereign. He judges and saves the remnant. God is not sleeping. He is active. A day is coming when moon, stars, and suns will witness again the great day of judgment. The second fundamental truth about God that encourages us to repent is to know the mercy of God. It says, even though he has torn us, he will heal us. And then it says, he has struck us down, but he will wind us up. The connecting words, even though, but, oh, those are very important things. That has the key idea there. The action described here are interesting. It starts with the word, even though. For most of the translation, it will be written for. For he has torn us. But the idea here, the connecting word, this has the meaning of even though. And then International Standard Version captures that idea. The idea here is to bring out the mercy of God. This word suggests something which is unlikely. Like, so it means here, even though God is just in punishing us, even though God is just in bringing us destruction, he is merciful. It is to bring out the mercy of God. This word is kept here. That's the idea. Hosea is giving them the right theology of repentance and theology of God. All troubles they suffer comes from God as judgment. And then here Hosea is teaching them, this God of justice is also a God of mercy. Though he act like a ferocious lion in tearing them apart, in bringing destruction upon them, he is also a great physician who will heal them, who will restore them. That is what we see here. The phrase says, even though he has torn us, even though this word looks over the hard times, that's the eyes of those who know the mercy of God. This is not the end. God's love never ends with punishment. He sends judgment primarily not to punish their sins. God sends them to inflict pain upon them so that they will come back to God. Did you give up God because he did not answer your prayer? Or did you give up being kind, being gentle because of your hard circumstances, brothers and sisters? You should overlook your circumstances. You must say, even though, like Hosea, like David, man after God's own heart, sees the mercy of God in his distress. As we see in Psalms 30, verse 5, it says, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. David overlooked his circumstances and he knows the mercy of God. That's true for those who will overlook their circumstances and hope in God's mercy. Brothers and sisters, that truth should let us run to God in repentance. And even in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6 says, God chastens us because he loves us. When God chastens us, he is acting like a good parent, prohibiting a child from dangerous things like fire or animals. Israelites should not play with the devils, the gods of Assyria, the wells of nations. Israelites made alliance with other nations for business, for survival, for their basic needs. They want protection from other nations. We see that in the book of Hosea. Those days were worse between nations. Relationship with other nations were worse than India and Pakistan. They have to make alliance with some other nations in order to fight against other nations, in order to defend against other nations. It is in this situation they made alliance with them. But God was displeased with them. They should have trust. They should have relied on God. They value and trust their alliance. Then they value and trust God. This alliance slowly and slowly made them compromise their conviction, the distinguished natures of Israelite, and even led them to worship their gods, their idols. We too Christians, if we make our means of income or business in a worldly place, they will weaken our conscience and lead us to destruction. Not many of us are as faithful as Daniel to withstand worldliness. By the way, Daniel was taken as a captive. He had no choice. But brothers and sisters, we do have a choice for our careers, for our professions. May we not play with the devil or the mercy of God. You see the word here in a future tense in English. It says, he will heal us and he will revive us. He will vine us. God will heal them. God will forgive them. God will restore them. But they must come in repentance. That's why it starts with, come, let us return to the Lord. Hosea is saying, God has torn us. But if we return, if we come back to God, if we repent, if we seek God, he will heal us. That is what Hosea is giving them. The picture here is, look at verse chapter 5, verse 14. For I'll be a lion to Ephraim and a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away, tearing them. And then in verse 13, we have read it, but let's read it again. It says, but he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. And here God is saying, the Assyria cannot heal you. I have taught you. They cannot heal you. You have to come to me. That is what God is. That is what Hosea is picturing about God's healing. They need healing. Here, God will heal them when they return to God. Then it says, he has struck us. He has struck us down and he will vine us up. The word Hosea used here is not a fatal strike to kill them, to annihilate them, to terminate them completely. This is not a fatal strike because God's intention is not to terminate them, but to let them repent because of their hard life, because of their suffering. But God, being merciful, will bind them again when they come. He gives life and takes life. He is completely powerful. No one can stop God from his judgments as well as from his mercy. The third fundamental truth about God that encourages us to repent is to know the grace or the favor of God. And that's in verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. God is not only the just one. God is not only the merciful one, but he is a God of grace. He is a God of favor. He will enable us what we are not able to do. These people, they are not able to survive. They are not able to live also. But God will let them be, as we see in verse 2. The justice of God drives the sinner to repentance, that there is no other way than to turn to God. For the way of sinners is self-destruction. We see that one even in the book of Proverbs. The mercy of God forgives the repentant sinners. And the favor of God, the grace of God, justifies the sinner to live before His presence. He led the sinner's lips from death, from their dying, from their physical, from their death condition, deadness. Let's say like that. By the way, all these are possible because God has unleashed His full wrath of justice upon Jesus Christ, His Son, the very God. So the channel of mercy, grace, is therefore only through Jesus Christ. Sinners must come to God knowing that Christ is His advocate. If not, you have no hope of healing. You have no hope of restoration. Because as we look at it in our life, we can do true things. We can be just in itself without others. And sometimes we can be merciful in itself. But for us, for depraved human being, we cannot be just as well as we cannot be merciful at the same time. Because the justice says that something must be punished. And the mercy says that something must be forgiven. So we can go and we, in the court, we can do justice and we can do mercy. But this cannot be possible. It is possible because He is God. It is possible because God has taken this full wrath of justice upon Christ. And it is because of that we receive mercy. Here it says, He will revive us that we may live before Him. Before Him means in His presence, in the presence of Yahweh. Literally, it means before His face. What does that mean? Before His face. You cannot be in the presence of somebody's face. You cannot, when you are guilty, you cannot look to somebody's face. But here, they will be living in the presence, in the face, before the face of God. Here, it means God will not find them guilty anymore because He has forgiven them. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, we see the parallel truth. God made us alive through Christ when we were dead and made us seated in Christ, with Christ in heavenly places. God loves is not only forgiving. It is honoring you as sons of the kingdom to live before His presence through Christ. Yeah, the purpose of God restoring them, reviving them, is not just for physical survival. It is to be God's people again, as He promised in Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. Is your world torn apart? Has somebody betrayed you? Might be because you're putting your trust on men or in your plans. The Israelites were doing the same thing. They ran to other nations for help, for food, for their basic needs, as we see in chapter 1, verse 5. The alliance with them makes them separate from God, and they were very confident in their alliance, in their schemes, in their plans. Chapter 2, verse 12. So God judged them. Brothers and sisters, uncles and aunties, God wants you to enjoy Him. God wants you to enjoy His favor, His grace. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. If we take delight in other things more than in God, God might take those things away. Perhaps if you have experienced that, so we take time to reflect in our relationship with God in comparison with other things. God is just. He punishes sin. We must repent from our sins in fear. God is merciful. We must run to God in repentance. And God is gracious. We must come back to God with joy in repentance. But brothers and sisters, repentance alone is not enough. We must do more. That led us to the second manifestation of seeking God. And it is in verse 3. It is to pursue after the knowledge of God. Let us know, let us press on to know the to know Yahweh, to know God. Do you remember the story of the rich man coming to Jesus in Matthew, in the book, in the Gospel of Matthew as well as in the Gospel of Luke? Jesus said to him, "Sell everything and follow me." Jesus is much more than the treasures of the earth, brothers and sisters. In one instance, Jesus says, "Lay not your treasure on earth." The Israelites were doing so exactly. Turn to Hosea chapter 9, verse 6, we'll see there. They were building their earthly home. God says in chapter 9, verse 6, thorns and nettles will possess their precious thing of silvers and houses. It is the same teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Earthly treasures will be eaten away by moth. Israelites should love God beyond all things, for they knew God personally. They must pursue God like Apostle Paul pursuing toward his goal, as we see in the book of Philippians. This pursuit is an active pursuit, pursuing after God, pursuing after knowledge of God. This is an active one. It is an effort. It is not just a movement or just a rest without having plan. But God is not a visible object for us to pursue after him. So how would Israel pursue this? How would Israel do? And for us, how would we do this? Hosea gives two expressions of pursuing the knowledge of God in verse 3. The first expression here is in the 3a, let us press on to know the Lord. It is a determination to know his word, the knowledge of God. Because the church, what Hosea gave, God gave to the people of Israel, as we see in chapter 4, is that there is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God. So they must determine to have the knowledge of God again. This knowledge of God is the scriptures, the laws. Primarily, it refers to the first 5 books of the Bible. The Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But by extension for us Christian now, as all the book from Genesis to Revelation is the Bible, the scriptures. For us, it is the whole Bible. And as we see in verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1, the Hosea calling, let us. Exactly here it is, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. This is not a suggestion. This is something they need to do. They need to do urgently. They need to do earnestly. Or else they die. Something like that. It is a very important. It is a very urgent thing. Repentance and pursuing the knowledge of God. This is an obligation. God has revealed himself in scriptures. So whoever seeks God should seek it in scriptures. As well, also, whoever wants to know the will of God for our daily life must seek in scriptures. We can't seek God in the mountains or under the banyan trees or in philosophy or by meditating and thinking without opening Bible. We have to seek God because God has revealed himself in the scriptures. Or we can't wait even for our dreams also. We see that clearly in Hebrews chapter 3, that God has revealed in his Son. And so in this Bible, we see the will of God. We can seek God here. The sufficiency and the majesty of scriptures is also shown in Psalm chapter 19 and Psalm 119. It's a lamb to feed. It's a food for growth. It's a sword for battle. It's a comfort for weariness. Israelite must pursue after the word of God. This is an ongoing pursuit that never stops. But brothers and sisters, knowledge itself, pursuing after knowledge itself is not beneficial without obedience. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, he who increases knowledge increases sorrows. And then even 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, knowledge puff, knowledge makes arrogant, it says. Our reading of God's word, our studying of God's word is to obey it, what the Bible says. Some may say, I read and read, but I do not understand. Or I do not get excited after reading the Bible. Some may say like that. And even me, I feel like that sometimes. And then John Piper gave a helpful advice. He said, we must talk to ourselves. He said, we must say to our heart, heart, delight in the word of God. I think he is right because as we read the book of Psalms, we see many times the psalmist calling his soul to arise. And even in our church, we have sung many times, arise, my soul, arise. Brothers and sisters, I think we need not to sing only. We need to practice it. We need to talk to our heart. We are not worshiping ourselves when we talk to ourselves. In fact, we are interacting with the scriptures. You are putting yourself under the examination of scriptures. Heart, the Bible says, delight in God. Why am I not delighting? Heart, delight in it. As John Piper says, I think it's really right to do so. Let the scriptures examine you, brothers and sisters, instead of just gathering information in your Bible studies or in the Bible reading or in listening to sermons. Do we spend enough time, brothers and sisters, in the Word of God? It is a bread, it is a light, it is a sword, it is a protection, and it is our sanctification. In John chapter 17, we see that too. It's a conversation saturated with scriptures. By the way, let me tell something about reading Bible. If you spend just 20 minutes a day, you would read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation once a year. I have that habit of doing so, and I would like to challenge you too. The new year 2017 is coming soon. Some of you may take up that challenge. The point is, are you determined to know God's word? That's pursuing the knowledge of God, which manifests seeking God. The second expression of pursuing the knowledge of God is to trust God's faithfulness. Here it says, chapter 6, verse 3, his going out is sure as the dawn. Or some other translation says, his going forth is established, is fixed like the dawn. He will come to us as a shower. This is a heavy rain, not a drizzle. As the spring rains that water the earth. Not only do we determine to know God's word, but in knowing, we trust God's faithfulness for all our lives. For all our lives. We see the prophet use here two pictures for God. He likens God to the dawn of the morning and the rain, the showers. Hosea, in doing so, Hosea is declaring the obvious truth, the trustworthiness character of God. This is a solemn truth. Therefore, we must trust him. The Israelite must trust him. Whoever read this, whoever heard this must trust God. The first comparison is the dawn. Dawn is the beginning of the new day. The sun rises. The sun always rises from the east. You did not see sun for God to rise on Monday. Or On Tuesday, you did not see the sun rising from the west. His going forth is sure. It is established. It is fixed. God's trusting God. We can trust God because God is reliable. He is not a man that he should change. The suns grow brighter and brighter. It exposes all things. That's how the coming of the Lord will be. The prophets compares the faithfulness of God as such. Christians, are you feeling discouraged? And feeling like all around is dark and gloomy. Keep on. Hold fast. Trusting God. Keep on trusting God. God will come as dawn on the morning. And Christians, we wait. And as we sing the song also, we wait not just for temporary relief, but we are waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ, the second advent again. He will come. He is the real light. Not the sun. Not the sunlight which we receive is not the real light. Jesus is a real light, the light of glory. He shall come shining to take us home again. This world is indeed a world of suffering. And then he compares to the rain. He will come to us as a showers, as a spring rains that waters the earth. Rain is refreshing to the earth. God's blessing coming when the people return and when they pursue would be coming as a showers of rain. It's a field everywhere, and that is the character of God. The thirsty lands will quench its thirst when the rain comes. In Bible, withdrawal of rain is always a sign of judgment. Because in those days, most of the people, everybody were agricultural people. They need rain very much. God will come, and when he come, those who thirst for righteousness in the land of Israel this time, there is no righteousness. Those who thirst for righteousness will also see it. Then as spring rains water the earth, God's coming shall fit the need of his people like the spring rain comes in the spring. And when the rain comes, the seed germinate and they start growing it. And so here, Hosea is picturing the coming of God, the characters of God, the natures of God, the attributes of God. Is he is full of life. He is trustworthy. Like the farmer trusts the spring rain for his crop to grow, we must trust God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's decree. Seeking God is indeed like a young man in pursuit of a beautiful girl. He determined to get information about her, and he keep on trusting that he will convince her one day to marry him. God is better than a beautiful girl, and he is more faithful than anyone can imagine. Whoever seeks him shall find, as we have seen it in verse 15 of chapter 5. Until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. When we seek God earnestly, we will find it. They will find it. Christians, where are your trusts? Is it in the unchanging promise-keeping God? Or are you like Israelite, wandering away, trusting in your degrees or achievements or the business or a company you are in? By the way, our text does not say to start doubting your boss or your employee or your company. Our text says we must treasure God above all things. Finding sufficiency in God, in good times or in down times, not to live like we have an unfaithful God. We need to exercise this faith. We need to stretch out this trust in God. The prophet Hosea trusts God's restoration for Israel. And we trust for sure that the sun will rise tomorrow from the east. Are we trusting God the same? God is more than that. In trusting God, we realize that we are earnestly seeking God. The God who called the Israelite to repentance and to pursue is the same God whom we worship every Sunday and every time in our life. Jesus also says, come to me who are weary and heavy laden. And in Hebrews it says, God is the rewarder of those who seek him. And in the most loved story of the parable of the prodigal son, and by the way, the story of the prodigal son is like a summary to what we have heard today. The prodigal son, out of despair, seeks his father. He repents, recalling who his father is, a just man, full of mercy and grace. He stopped running away from his father and started trusting his father's faithfulness by recalling it. He came to his father's, and lo, his father comes running, not walking, to receive him. And he gave this prodigal son a new life to him, though he was a wretched, rebellious, arrogant sinner. A refreshing one and a renewed position, like the position we see in our passage today. Brothers, all of us are straying away, even as a Christians, in some way or the other way. You know where you are straying away. The Israelites were unrepentant, so God banished them away, though they were covenant people of God. Till today, they are in constant threat of enemies around them. Let us, like the prodigal son, return to God in repentance and trust, knowing that God is just, merciful, and gracious, and he is promise-keeping. God is a compassionate father whose love abounds much more even in our sins and suffering. So we pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for who you are, for what you are, O God. Father, we are sinful people, but you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to bear our sins, so that, Father, we sinful people should stop running away from you, should stop rebelling against you, but should come to you and say, Lord, you have die, Lord Jesus, you have died in our stead, that we might not suffer it again, and we would receive the mercy of God. And we have received your mercy and your grace, and Lord, we thank you. And Father, we do pray, Father, even for our relatives and for people who do not know you, O Father, that you will grant them repentance, O Father. They will see your majesty, O Father. They will see who you are, O God, and they will come running to you. And O Father, they would receive blessing. They will receive restoration, O Father. They will receive life from death, O God. And they would praise you, Lord. And Father, even as we Christians, we sometimes struggle in our life and we are straying away knowingly and unknowingly. And oh Father, we do pray that you will teach this truth, oh God, that we need to repent every time. And oh Father, we need to pursue after you more than any other things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.